Well, if you have got your Bibles, you should pull them out right now. And you will also want to have your outlines that say the mission of God on them. This morning we're going to be talking, here we are. We only have one more Sunday after today before Christmas. And so we are literally standing right on top of Christmas and in the heart of the Advent season. Advent means that we are anticipating the coming of Christ. And even though Christians live their entire lives in a sense of Advent, anticipating the return of Christ, we take this season to remind ourselves what it was like to anticipate the initial coming of Jesus Christ that so many, almost everyone, completely missed. And in order to do that, I think we have to appreciate that this was God's thing. This was God's plan from the very beginning. Number one, letter A. God's missional heart, which we, in a very short way, we call Missio Dei, the mission of God, has been evident from the very beginning of mankind's story. I want to remind you that when Adam and Eve sinned, God did not just cast them out of the garden. He did not just bring judgment down on them, but with that judgment came hope. He said that he would bring one someday that would crush the head of sin, that would render a fatal blow to the purposes of sin in this world. Adam and Eve, of course, had no idea what they had stumbled into when they simply ate the fruit. But even in the midst of their rebellious disobedience, God gave hope to Adam and Eve that it would not be like this forever. He reached out to an insignificant individual named Abraham who lived in a land that was very far away from where modern-day Israel is now. And he plucked this one individual guy out of literally the middle of nowhere. No one from nowhere. And he said, I am going to, through you, through this one guy, I am going to make you into a populous, powerful blessing of a nation. And through Abraham, God begins to work out the redemption that has been planned from the very beginning. And through Abraham, he begins to take someone and something that is insignificant and bring significance to it. Similarly, God reached out to mankind through judges. Remember Deborah and Gideon? God reached out through the judges to bring redemption. He reached out through kings, Saul, David, Solomon, and all the crazies that followed them. He reaches out through that majesty of kingship to the world to bring redemption. He reaches out through the priests, from Aaron to Zadok to Ezra. He reaches out through the priesthood, the intercessors that existed between God and Israel. And he reaches out through them to call Israel unto himself, to provide redemption to an entire nation. And then through the prophets we see scattered through all of the Old Testament. God is constantly speaking through prophets to bring his prophetic word. And you are probably more familiar with the prophets than you are with the priests. Jeremiah, Daniel, straight down to Malachi. There's actually a very, very long list. And it is after a period of silence, we return to a time of prophets with the guy that we've been talking about these last few weeks, John the Baptist, the first prophet that we see in the New Testament, the first prophet that we see before the great prophet of Jesus Christ, the great prophetic work of Jesus. But now, in Jesus, we have the high point. We have the high point of God's redemptive plan. We have the meeting point of all the promise, of all the calls of prophets, priests, and kings, all of the words that he shared with Abraham, all of the promises that he gave to Adam and Eve, all of that information comes to like a bow tie, the center of the bow tie in the Bible. All of this has led to this Christmas morning. As my wife looked up on Google yesterday, the first Noel, the very first Christmas, the very first one, That moment was when God was able to finally initiate the fulfillment of Missio Dei, the mission of God in this world. The mission of God in this world was always, has always been, will always be Jesus Christ. That is how God has always chosen to reach mankind. And Jesus Christ, as far as Missio Dei, as far as God's purposes, His mission, is most celebrated during this season of Christmas. It is the high point of God's mission in the world. It is most significantly reached when God reached out to mankind through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, as we get an opportunity to picture Him, is the Creator and the exact image of God. If you've got your Bibles, you can open them to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'll give you just a sec to do that. That's New Testament. Go eat popcorn. That's Colossians. Easy way to remember it. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go eat popcorn. I taught that to the kids. None of you seem to appreciate it quite as much, but Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He, speaking of Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Firstborn, you'll remember there, is the first of something new. The first one that is of a new kind of order. It's not talking about literal birth. It's talking about significance. The oldest son, which happens to also be the one that was born first, sometimes, is the firstborn in the family. And so the firstborn had significance. It had special, unique significance. Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. There is none like Him. For by Him, next verse, verse 16, for by Him all things were created. Puts a totally different spin, doesn't it, on creation? We think of creation in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. What was the agent? What was the agent of that creation? Jesus. Jesus is the one that always puts the commands of God into action in Scripture. Always, 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 Jesus is the one that acts. Whenever you see someone actually doing the work of God, it's Jesus Christ. Whether the Old or the New Testament, whether at any point in history, Jesus Christ is God's firstborn. He is the significant one that is doing the Word of God. For by Him, Jesus Christ, all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, verse 17, and in Him, in Christ, all things hold together. Isn't that crazy? The stuff of your body holds together according to what? The will of God. And who carries out the will of God? Jesus Christ. And if you want to have a relationship with God, who do you have to trust? Jesus Christ. It's through a relationship with this image of the invisible God, this physical manifestation of the reality of God. Truly, God in the flesh, it says in John 1:14. God in the flesh. It's by putting faith in Him, in who He is and what He did and all that He has done. It's by faith in Him that we have a relationship with God. And this is all brought to its climax at the very first Christmas. And it's worth our while as followers of Jesus to remember that. It's worth our while to see what God has initiated in His bigger story. We have a tendency, right, to pick things out of Scripture, to just memorize verse here, verse there. I got a little verse about this and I got a little verse about that. And the appreciation of the full story, I believe, is what truly makes a difference in your life. Many of us have got little pockets of knowledge. When we can connect the great story of God together, we begin to see where we fit in the larger scheme, in the larger story of what God is doing. Christmas is a high point of that story. And even though we as Christians are very focused on what time of year? Easter. Because we see redemption sealed by the blood of Jesus. And that certainly is a very significant moment. All of that is not possible, right? Without Christmas. You got to have Christmas before you can have Easter. And this is that moment where God breaks into the fishbowl of humanity and Jesus Christ comes as God in the flesh. He is the creator, the exact image of God. When you look at Jesus, you are seeing God. He is the redeemer throughout all of history. Do you see that? He goes back before Adam and Eve. He is there the whole time. Nobody else is on the scene but Jesus Christ. He's been there for Adam and Eve and Abraham and all the prophets, priests, and kings that have existed before him. In fact, Jesus Christ is prophet, priest, and king. He is the completion, the high point, the fulfillment of each one of those things. He was a prophet. He spoke the words of God. He was a priest. He provides intercession between God and man. He is a king. He is enthroned on high. And he stands at the right hand of the throne of God and makes intercession even to this day on your behalf. That is a powerful, powerful image of who Jesus Christ is. And he is the great fulfiller of God's missional purposes in this world. Pick it up in verse 19. And we'll just read 19 and 20 right now. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness of God to dwell in him. And through him, which I love this, through him to reconcile all things to himself. Reconciliation is only necessary when there is damage to a relationship. And God chose to reconcile from the very beginning. God chose to reconcile you to him through Jesus. Have you responded to him during this Christmas season? Kind of floating through. Oh, that's sweet. The first Noel. Oh, that's sweet. Oh, we sang Christmas carols this morning. That makes me feel warm. This is such a nice season. My Christmas tree is up. I'm hoping my husband puts up the Christmas lights someday. I'm starting to eat food that I don't eat the rest of the year. There's like all this fudge lying around my house and all those kinds of things. Like it's a unique time of year, unique smells, unique foods, unique times with each other. Even those of you that don't look forward to hanging out with your family, there's still something fun about it because it's Christmas. Not to mention there's a lot of presents involved, and that's never a bad thing for us, whether you're the one giving or the one getting. But it is God who chose to reconcile through Jesus, having made peace, peace with God and man, through the blood of the cross. Through him, I say, whether things that are on earth or things that in heaven, Jesus Christ himself has brought them together. This is the high point of Christmas. And if you have engaged at all in Christmas, it is so easy to get distracted, isn't it? You know what the biggest distraction in our house is from Christmas? Yeah, the Hallmark Channel. Such a good thing, right? I mean, it's like nice and everything ends in bow ties and it's really sweet, right? I've been exposed or like forced to watch Hallmark and that kind of thing. How easy is it in the midst of even these wonderful stories that are good for families and are healthy for my kids and my wife and I to really enjoy it. But how easy is it, right? Even in the midst of good things to miss that Jesus is the center. He is the high point. He is the essence of Christmas. Let's not even get into the name Christmas. You know, it's like he's at the center of it. But how easily missed in the midst of all that we do. Letter B, Christmas is this highest moment in God's loving mission. Remember, for God so loved the world, John 3:16. Isn't it interesting that that's the verse we know and that we miss the next two? It's at the top of your outline. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe is already judged, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten or the unique, unlike any other, Son of God. This is the purpose of this Christmas season, is that we would consider the way that God has loved us through Jesus Christ. Are we enraptured with that? Are we overwhelmed by that? Or in the midst of this, are we so enamored with the sensational parts of this season that we are missing it? That this season is so overwhelming to us because of all that has to be set up and all that we are arranging for and all that we are taking care of and all that we're doing, that this high point of how Jesus loves you, really this high point of how God has expressed His love to you, is missed. I want to call you back during this Advent season. This Advent season where we anticipate Jesus. I want to call you back to not being distracted by anything that goes on, whether it be in the media, whether it be in your home, whether it be in our own minds. Because we're struggling through this season because it represents some very, very painful, difficult times for us. No matter where you're at, I want to call you back to the wonder that God loves you. And He loves you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus, at the very highest point. Not so that you would cower. Not so that you would be like, oh, God has judged my sin. God has solved the problem of sin through Jesus Christ. That we would but respond to the good news that comes in the person of Jesus Christ. For many of us, our Lord and Savior. This is the essence and the focal point that I want all of us to be drawn into. An anticipation, not of all the trimmings and the trappings of Christmas, but an anticipation of a deeper, more fresh, more real, more dynamic, more authentic walk with Jesus Christ. Because this is like the magic of this season. I know the magic of the season is elves and Santa Claus, but I'm just saying that maybe this lies even deeper than the wonder that we have in our culture and with our children of some of those, I don't know how young people are in the room, so I'm just going to say the wonder of those stories. It is easy to celebrate, letter C, Christmas traditions which literally overly exalt the baby Jesus. I look at some of these nativity scenes and I just wonder, how did they come up with that? This is bizarre. It makes it so sanitary and clean. And as though, like, it's just so nice. Have you ever been in a stable? Most people that walk into stables think, what do I need to do? I need to get out of here. This is no good. It reeks in here. And it reeked in there. It was normal. You get that? It was a normal scene. I don't know if you've ever been there. I trust that a lot of you have not, but I have been there when a baby was born. All right? That ain't pretty. I don't care how you cut it. It's profound. It's unbelievable. You're thanking God. You don't have any clue as a man what the dealio is going on, but they hand you a kid. You're appreciative, you know. That doesn't look like a nativity scene to me. I had the opportunity to cut the umbilical cord of one of my children. The other one had it wrapped around her head, and we needed to get oxygen to her. So they handled it themselves and just let me do a little trimming. But I don't know what other fathers think, but the first time I cut an umbilical cord, I was startled. That's like chopping through a small tree right there. It's very, very tough. Right? How do you think they cut Jesus' umbilical cord? It wasn't like they had scissors laying around. It wasn't like they had medical equipment. What do? Like smack sharp stones together? I don't know. But that isn't the scene you get, is it? It's all like nice. Have you ever sung, whatever. The song that is about baby Jesus, no crying he makes. That is ridiculous. The cattle were lowing. What does that even mean? Little drummer boy wasn't there. These traditions almost make religious nonsense of his birth. They're warm. I like them. I love some of these songs, but it can draw us into like a concept of almost religious ridiculousness that actually inoculates us to the truth that God came in the flesh. This is what breaks through to the shepherds when they're on their hillside. Guys that are truly rough around the edges, historically. You did not welcome shepherds into your home, in other words. You kept them on hillsides. They reeked. They were of ill repute, generally. If they had good repute, they weren't shepherds. All right? These shepherds that were out on these hillsides, literally in the black of night, got to experience the wonder of an angel breaking through, and then the extraordinary wonder of an entire host of angels announcing Jesus Christ's birth. To the lowest of the low, God reveals that baby that they're storing right now in a feeding trough, a manger, is the Son of God. This is what breaks through onto mankind, that in the midst of the deepest, deepest darkness, to the midst of people with ill repute, Jesus Christ has come for you. These other things, I love them, but they make a little bit of nonsense of the truth of his birth. It is imperative. I couldn't find a strong enough word there. It's imperative to grasp the point of Christmas, that God's mission is spread in the midst of these kinds of situations, that God's mission is spread with the kind of humility that Jesus Christ adopts in this moment. I mentioned it earlier, and remarkably, you heard the father in Connecticut mention it. He prays, he asks his whole community, would this situation humble us? Would we serve each other? Would we talk to people that we would never otherwise speak to? See, that's what Christmas is. That's what Christmas does. You are so captivated by the wonder of the bright light in the midst of darkness that you cannot possibly act the same. And that's what it means in the verses from Philippians 2, which are noted there in letter B. Listen to this. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. I just want to emphasize that verse, that we are supposed to act like this. All right? Have this attitude in yourselves. Okay, we clear? We're not just appreciating someone else. This is prescriptive to us. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, or better, a slave, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient, even to the point of death, death on a cross. For this reason also, God exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every other name, so that the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and that are under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For what purpose? To the glory of God the Father. It all has worked together from the very beginning, that God the Father would not be defeated by the purposes of sin and wickedness and evil and rebelliousness and selfishness, something that we all have in common in this world, but that he would conquer. And he promised it from the beginning. And he described it through prophets and priests and kings. And he expressed it through so many. But the high point is Christmas. It's where God breaks into our world with a great shining light of Jesus Christ. And this is what marks Christmas as being truly significant. It is the coming, it is the arrival, it is the advent of Jesus in our midst. And we are easily taken out of that mindset and that heart focus and all those kinds of things to look at so much other stuff. And I want to draw you back in to seeing Jesus for who he truly is. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no way to God except through him. And those of us that have trusted in him are given the most important lesson that Christmas could ever bring to us. That if you want to serve others, if you truly want to be part of God's mission, do you notice that history does not stop with Jesus? He has left you here for some reason, has he not? Then have the attitude in your own lives that Jesus did. Have the attitude that he introduces at Christmas to all of us. God's mission is spread, as it says in letter C, when his servants humble themselves on the behalf of others. Humble ourselves. Not for our own purposes, but on behalf of other people, going where God's mission calls you. We talked about calling a couple weeks ago. Each week we've talked about anticipating. Each week we've talked about some different aspect. We've talked about how God was replacing things in Jesus Christ, how he was completing things, how he was bringing it all together. It's all about Jesus. And it's not about some of this other stuff. Hey, you can sing to Little Drummer Boy when it comes on the radio. You can participate in so many of these great traditions. But don't miss Jesus. Don't miss Christmas. Don't miss the purpose, the focal point, the reality. That the way, the truth, and the life broke into humanity and it shined a great light. And that those that walk into that light, those that respond to that light, when we are moths to the flame, that we will be swept into Missio Dei. And that our access to Missio Dei is not because we are significant. It's because he is significant. And when we humble ourselves and serve others, we look most like Jesus. Let's make it true of this Christmas season. And let's make it true of our lives. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and allow us the opportunity to respond. Respond during this Christmas season to the Word of God. Respond to what God is doing in our midst and respond. Respond to just bringing our own lives in front of the Lord and allowing Him to pour all over us. Allowing Him to empty Himself all over us again. Allowing ourselves to walk out of dark places. To walk out of walking into a dark place that you didn't even intend to. To walk out of dark places that you know you've chosen. And to allow this light that has come into the world to captivate you once again. Let's stand, let's respond, and let's worship our King.